when you pick a short hymn for the offering, right? So I'll remind you of kind of our weather cancellation policies. A rule of thumb, I'm not going to cancel on Sunday mornings because I live right there. So I will always be able to make it. And if I need to go get Jean, I can just go walk down the street, put her on my back, get her here too. So we'll at least have an organ too. But please remember, if you don't feel safe driving, please do not try. Please do not try to come. That is important to me. I actually had a member of one of our church. It was the last time she drove, was trying to get to church in ice. So please, please, just make that decision on your own. During the weekdays, we follow the school schedule. If the school Northern Lebanon cancels, we cancel. If they cancel afternoon activities, we cancel. That way, it's an easy way for you to get out the message. So we've gone through the entirety of the Old Testament. My goal isn't that I can hit every single story, because there's a lot of stories in there. My goal is that you would understand some bigger picture ideas from the Old Testament, how they can illuminate how we read Scripture and other things. And then at the end of the Old Testament, you have this silent period. These 400 years of silence, but we also need to remind ourselves, the Old Testament covers a lot of years. And if it addressed, and if God just spoke constantly throughout, we would still not be done reading it, amen? And so silence, it really is a part of our faith. Understanding that God is still present, regardless of how we feel or what we're thinking, that is an important part of our faith, being willing to engage with that silence. Even Christ, as he walked the earth, spent time walking away from people. And that's one of the hardest things in the world for modern human beings to do. You know why? We're surrounded by noise. Anywhere we go. When I do my northern route of walking, and I'm walking up Lincoln School Road, no cars can pass me. But if I stop and close my eyes, I hear the hum of the high-tension power lines. I can hear noise everywhere you go. And so silence can sometimes intimidate us, but we should not. We should be okay with silence. And then, and I said to you, in the middle of these wilderness moments, God is always at work. And so after 400 years of people waiting, now we have this glorious example of Christ. Christ being foretold all through the Old Testament, and now we're going to come that even in the New Testament, it doesn't simply start with Christ's arrival, but it starts with this preparation. Christ being foretold to his mother Mary in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, beginning at the 26th verse. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. The woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." And then the angel left her. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for that willingness that Mary had to receive you for each one of us. Thank you for that reminder that your Son's kingdom will never end. It has been established and will remain for all eternity. And Father, we want to breathe deep of that presence, deep of that kingdom. That is your words that are proclaimed and heard for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Quite a few years ago, a friend of mine called me up and said, "Oh, Rob, you have got to watch the movie Unbreakable. You will love this movie, Unbreakable." And so, being a faithful friend, I decided, okay, I'll watch this movie. And I'm watching the movie, and it was slow. Painfully slow. I like movies that are a little faster moving, quite frankly. The whole premise of the movie was okay, but it just moved slow because this man who was born with bones that broke very easily decided, well, if there's somebody like him in the world, there has to be the exact opposite. There has to be somebody whose bones are exceptionally strong. And so he dedicated his life to finding this unbreakable man. It's Bruce Willis, by the way. And he finally finds the man who he thinks might be the one. And of course, you got to test these theories, right? But it was slow. And as I'm watching the movie, thinking to myself, okay, they need to expedite the process a little bit. We start to get to the end, and in the very last scene, everything gets illuminated. You begin to see how every single point of the movie was really foreshadowing how this end was going to come about. All of a sudden, all those things that I was like, this kind of is strange, it makes no sense, were illuminated by that moment. And you realize the whole movie was building to point to this one moment. And I loved it. I loved thinking back about how all these things pointed to this man being unbreakable, and it pointed to the fact the guy who found him was his arch enemy, seeking for purpose in his life as well, even if the purpose was bad. And so I loved the movie, looking through and thinking through all the different scenes and how they related to this moment, and it dawned on me, this is exactly what the scripture does. The whole of the Old Testament is meant, this was wired by Dave Hanlon, the whole of the Old Testament was meant to point to this moment, was meant to point to Jesus Christ. And so the Old Testament begins with creation, the light being separated from the darkness. And now when Christ comes, how's that described? The light stepping into the darkness, the light stepping into the chaos, and bringing forth order. The whole of the creation story points, foreshadows to this is who Christ is going to be. And then after the fall, there's that great statement to Adam and Eve where he says, the Satan or the serpent will nip at your heels, but he will crush his head. A foreshadowing of what Christ will do on the cross. Moses going through the rivers, through the waters of the Sea of Reeds, foreshadowing the waters of baptism. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing to this moment. And so when I read the Old Testament, I read it from that perspective with that realization that all those stories are foreshadowing. They're pointing to the idea that we need a Savior, and the Savior will come. Now you should say, or might say, what if I don't really take the Old Testament that seriously? What about all the people who weren't Jewish at the time? I'm going to argue the whole of creation points to Jesus Christ. That the very processes of nature point to who Christ has come to be. And so that's what I address at my children's moment, right? Is that idea that we live in a nature that demands conversion. Amen? If you removed light from creation, we would not have life. if you remove the ability of plants to process that light, to convert it, to redeem it, there's all sorts of theological words you could use here, but all of them kind of mean the same thing. It is to change it from one thing into something else. We would not have life. Because all of life starts with that conversion, but it continues, right? Because when I eat that potato, guess what my body does? It converts it. It redeems it. It changes it so that I can have life. Why does Christ come? He comes to convert us, to redeem us, to change us, so we can have eternal and everlasting life. The whole of creation is based on these processes. If you remove these processes, guess what happens? There's no life. If you remove Christ, guess what happens? There is no life. There are even examples within creation that clearly point to this idea. The caterpillar, which is overwhelmingly not the most beautiful creature in the world, amen, goes into that cocoon and changes and comes out. And as a kid, you would have never looked at a caterpillar and thought that eventually it would look like a butterfly, amen? Because you know what I willingly did to caterpillars as a kid? You stepped on them. You'd crush them. But if I saw a butterfly, what would I do? I'd be gentle with it. I would try to catch it. But, you know, it's tough to catch a butterfly. You've got to kind of let them land on you, right? They seem so very different. But really, they're pointing to Christ. They're pointing to this really awesome idea that God doesn't want us just to remain how we are. We were born and raised in this fallen world. We have this darkness about us. We have this chaos that sometimes seems like it reigns in our life, but God has a better plan for it. And that better plan is Jesus Christ. And if you weren't expecting him, then he's harder to see, amen? The reason the end of the movie was hard to see is because you weren't expecting the end of the movie. But we live in a great time because guess what? We got to see that ending. So now we can process the whole beginning of that movie and say to ourselves, wow, everything about this world, everything about this life is pointing to Christ. And I can use that when I talk to my friends and to my family, to my children and to my grandchildren, to remind them that Christ has come. And now I'm going to blow your mind possibly. We overwhelmingly think of Advent as simply preparing our lives for the birth of a baby. But let me tell you something. That happened already. Amen? Advent comes from a Latin word that translates the Greek word for the second coming. It is pointing to this idea that Christ is going to come again, and then our redemption will be complete. Chaos will be completely defeated. The only thing we will live in will be light. We will not suffer with death and destruction any longer. We will live in that Genesis 1 world that we so desperately pine for. And so Advent is that reminder, that expectation that this conversion process, it's going to be completed someday, amen? That as much as creation points to it, we know the end will eventually come. And so when I talk about Jesus being foretold, I'm not just talking about his birth as a child. I'm talking about Jesus has been foretold as in he's coming again. And we can rest assured in that he will come to set us free. First, I want to remind us, everything in the Old Testament I see is pointing to the coming of Christ, both as a child and then as our full Redeemer. Because Isaiah mentions not simply that he would be born as a child, but also that his kingdom would never end. And that only happens if you are more than human. Amen? Because everyone here is going to die. But Christ's kingdom lasts eternal. The whole of the Old Testament points to the coming of Christ. And even cooler, I think the whole of nature points to the necessity of light and conversion in order for life to exist. Creation points to Jesus. Next time you're walking through the woods with your kids, your grandkids, with somebody else, look for those examples in nature and be like, isn't this amazing? This tree points to Christ. This tree has changed every year because it's processing the light. I hope I, as a human being, change for the good every year because I'm processing the light. The light is changing, transforming me. And then I love this little example. Jesus' birth is first announced to his mother, right? And she demonstrates our faithful response to the light. It's a simple response, isn't it? Just a few words. She says, Lord, do with me as you want. Shouldn't that be our response to the light? When we are offered something bigger, better, something that the whole of creation points to, shouldn't our response be, Lord, do with me as you want? Eventually, the disciples will come and they will hear the message of Christ and they will say, Lord, do with me as you want. It's not always the easiest process. It's not always the simplest process. Years ago, I referenced the idea that if you are muck at the bottom of a pond, the only way you get to become a part of the lily is if you do what? You give up your willingness to be muck. If you accept the offer of the lily plant to accept you into being a part of it. And so this is a foreshadowing of our response, which has to be, Lord, do with me as you want. You don't get to say, Lord, I want to keep some of my muckiness, and I want to be a part of the lily flower at the same time. You have to be willing to say, Lord, do with me as you want. And then that great reminder we have, that if we say, Lord, do with me as you want, if we accept the gift the light gives us, there will be that day when Christ will come again. Now, some people think I'm simply talking about the moment when Christ will come and all of us will be taken up to heaven, but we might not see that moment, amen? I might go through the veil of death, but at that moment for me will be the moment Christ comes for me. That is the second coming in my life. And so be ready no matter what, because you're not promised another day or another moment in this world, but you are promised that if you allow the light to convert you, there will be a day when he will come and welcome you into his arms. This Advent, let us be prepared for that moment. Let us be prepared to say to Christ in all moments of our lives, Lord, do with me as you want. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for designing the whole of creation to point to you, to point to your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for giving us your holy word that points to you, that reminds us, Father, that your light will shine into our darkness, that your light will shine into our chaos, and bring forth order. Father, for the times in which we have not given you our faithful and divine do with me as you wish, Father, we rest in your never failing love and grace again. And Father, as we come to that great altar of grace again this morning, as we are reminded anew of your offer to be present in our very lives, Father, may we come with hearts and minds and souls focused on you, that as we receive that presence anew this morning, Father, that you would continue to convert us with your light so so that we can be your light to this world, desperate to know that you love them and that you have a better way for them. Father, may we live as your faithful disciples. May we bring your light to those around us for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. Do this as often as you do it, in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he raised it up, he gave thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." As the ushers come forward to serve you, I want to remind you that this is not a United Methodist table, it's a Lord's table. All who seek forgiveness through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are welcome to partake. You receive a piece of the bread. I ask that you hold on to it until I share words, and we will receive together, and we will do likewise with the cup. The body of Christ broken for you, take and eat. the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink.
Let us stand together as we sing our closing hymn, hymn number 116.
As God's holy and beloved children, redeemed by his grace, go forward to serve him, knowing the God of love, the God of peace, and the God of joy goes with you always. Amen.